So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to put down your writing, noting things, and we're going to have a meditation. You've had a lot of input today. So just take a moment to close your eyes. Soften your breathing. And breathe a little more deeply and consciously. Take a breath into your heart. And just say hello to your heart. It's been doing its job all day long. And maybe say thank you. Take another breath and just let your body relax in the chair. And notice how differently you feel than you did at the beginning of the day. And the energy in the room has changed. Maybe it feels softer to you. Maybe it feels a little more cohesive because you are with family. And let your breathing continue to carry you more and more deeply into a place of relaxation, but of also receptivity. And when we finish the evening tonight, we leave quietly when Kryon says, and so it is. We take that message with us in our hearts. And we leave with those words and that love. Take another breath. And just feel the fullness of your heart. And the gratitude in there for bringing yourself here today, for opening your heart to receive, for giving yourself this gift. That continues with the message from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. I promised a parable. And yet again, the parable will feature the character named Woe. And if you've not heard of this before, woe is every human. Woe really is not a gender. Woe is a woe man. And in that, we will call him a he because it makes sense in your language to do so. But this is for all of you. In some ways, it's a story that some of you will recognize, in some ways it isn't, because it's metaphoric. Now, dear ones, parables always have a message. Parables will always be metaphors of other things. Sometimes we'll explain them, sometimes we won't, but we want to as we go on this one. I'm going to give it a name. Woe and his backyard. Right away, you feel that perhaps the backyard isn't a backyard, and you'd be right. And in a moment, we'll tell you more. Woe had a backyard, and all through his life, it was so important to him. And like so many of you who had a backyard, you can remember, perhaps, if you lived there long enough, the things that took place in it that are part of your youth. You actually will remember it, perhaps, as you were small, and the things that were added to it, the things that stayed the same, the things, perhaps, that you counted on. The backyard, in this particular case, is your reality. It's you. It's how you think. It's how you do things. And of course, those, all of those, are shaped when you're very young. And in Woe's case, he remembers so clearly the day that his father brought the tree The tree was already pretty big. Dad brought a piece of equipment that now he knows is called a backhoe, dug a hole and put in the tree. And the whole reason for that was for woe. The tree was put in when woe was small. In fact, he was almost five, but he remembers it. And his dad said, "This is going to be your treehouse. And when you're a little older, woe, we'll build it together. And you'll love it." And that's what happened. A number of years passed, and woe watched that tree grow. And the branches could eventually then support himself, his father, other things, and they began their treehouse. The treehouse, dear ones, represents the childhood. In Woe's case, it was a good one, and he remembers it very, very vividly. But he remembers something else that he laughs about even to this day. When his father built the treehouse, very slowly, very methodically, very well, his father found two oil barrels, like almost like trash cans, that were open at the top, and he turned them upside down and put them next to the tree in order to support a part of the treehouse. Now, what's significant in the barrels was that through the years that followed, even into Woe's adulthood, the barrel stayed in the same place. And this was because they were ultimately functional. Even after the treehouse was gone, they became a picnic table. You just put a piece of wood on them, and that's where you had your parties. Right next to the tree, that's where you wanted to sit for the shade. If you had a project in the backyard, if you wanted to build anything, the barrels supported the table for that. It was a project table. The barrels never moved. Interesting, some of the neighbors noticed that. They say, "Ever going to move those barrels, Woe?" And he said, "I don't think so." And the joke then becomes this. He said, "Someday we'll either have one of two things. Either the rapture will come or Woe will move the barrels." And it was a neighborhood joke. The barrels don't move. Dear ones, in your backyard, you got barrels. You never move them. You can't move them. You would never think of moving them because of the core truth. Question: did you put them there, or did your dad? And that is a metaphor, because perhaps some of you don't have a dad, but you get it. I know you get it. What important person in your life put those things there that became ultimately stationary, that you won't move from, and you'll never move from, but you use it all the time because it works, and it works. That tree, it continued to grow. At the same time that it continued to grow, I'll tell you about the playhouse. Now, here's where we get gender specific. Woe got a treehouse because that's what boys want, but he also got a playhouse. His father and his friends built him the playhouse. Now, if we looked at genders, if Woe was a woe man growing up, then he's a small girl, and he wanted the playhouse. So we are honoring the idea of the gender here as well. The playhouse also representing the inner child, the places where the parties were given, where you played house, where you made meals that were pretend, where it was a fort, it was many things. It's where mom and dad would go to work and you would play in the playhouse. In the backyard. The backyard then becomes your childhood, your life, your belief system. And the tree, well, it keeps growing, and that's what you hang on to, because there are certain things in life that you have to know are solid. And if they're not solid, dear ones, it's tough. You got to have something to hang on that you can count on. And Woe's tree was that, long after the treehouse went away. He was hanging on to that tree, and it grew and grew. Pretty soon, that tree was enormous. In fact, it was almost as big as the backyard itself. It was a canopy, like in a forest. It shaded the entire backyard. Woe would go into the backyard when he was an adult and grab his drink and his straw, and he'd sit there in his chair and he'd say, "This is good." And everything around him, and he'd reminisce and say, "Well, this is a good place. I love this tree. Thank you, Barrels, for being there, and the playhouse is I can remember good things about my life." And then he reflected, "Well, yes, of course, there's the negative things." And he started listing some of those, and he said, I'll get through them because I'm a balanced person, but about the rats. And he says, "We have rats, and of course, they're not from my yard. They come from the neighbor's yard. Now, I'm not going to tell the neighbor he has rats that are getting into my yard because I love my neighbor. There are certain things you don't tell your neighbor and your friends. And you don't tell them about your rats. You don't tell them how to raise their children. You just love them. So I'll deal with the rats as I can. It's a negative thing. They come, they go, I don't know how. They come over the fence." Now the rats are, of course, the challenges in life. They're the things that you look at and you don't want to deal with, but you have to deal with, and you deal with them. Sometimes in some backyards, there are just too many rats. And that's when you go into dysfunction and stress, and that's when you go into poor health. But woe, he had a good idea of life, and he dealt with the rats. Woe was balanced. He was a good woe man. And then there was the snakes. Now, he didn't know how the snakes were getting in, but he understood that snakes could go under fences, and there weren't many, but when there were, he was afraid of the snakes. He didn't want any part of it. He'd go in the house and hide and call somebody else to get the snake. The snake was always the fear of something you couldn't fix. It was the fear of death, disease. It was whatever it is that's beyond a rat. And Woke said, "I deal with these things. I know how to deal with these things. We get rid of the snakes and I return to a place where I can sit in the chair with my drink and sip it and say, I'm okay. I'm okay." And there it was, until a certain date. And then came the earthquake. Woke and remember sitting there sipping his drink, knowing that everything was just fine until the earthquake, and it rumbled and it swayed, and he felt that tree crack. A branch or two had come down. The playhouse was listing. All of these things, and he was so happy. He was not hurt. His neighbors were not hurt. He looked around. He didn't know anybody who had perished, but oh boy, was there some changes. And after he'd recovered from the event, he looked around and said, "I don't know what happened, but it's still okay. Tree's a little different. Playhouse is a little different. I think it's all right." Yeah, until the inspectors came. Now, the inspectors can be almost anything in your life, but they do represent authority. Sometimes they don't represent authority. They represent epiphany. Interesting, isn't it? Anything that would ask you to change your backyard. But in this particular case, he knew he had to because the earthquake had happened. Interesting, if you looked into this parable, there were those in his neighborhood, are you ready? Who had no earthquake. But he did, and so did his neighbor. That tells you a little bit about the unspoken things in a parable. Woe was an old soul. Woe was a good woe man. Woe had a consciousness that was ready to evolve. And his earthquake changed his backyard. And the authorities came and they said, "The tree, let's talk about the tree." And Woe said, "No, if you're going to tell me the tree has to go, you leave." And they said, no, Woe, it doesn't have to go. It's too heavy. You saw it here. And they started to explain Gaia, to woe. They said, in the forests, Gaia takes care of the trees, naturally prunes out through fire, disease, whatever. There is a system that takes care of things. But you have a tree that you elected to plant outside the forest. That means you are responsible for what Gaia would normally do. The tree needs to be pruned. You should have pruned it all along. Now, if you follow it so far, pruning that tree is that thing that you hold on to for strength. Pruning the tree actually might mean, depending upon who's here and who's listening, that you have to reevaluate your reality on a regular basis. And woe hadn't. Most people hadn't. Most humans haven't. The tree is the tree. And suddenly they were saying, you got to prune it. Woe said, I don't want to watch. Will you assure me the tree will still be alive? And they said, not only alive, it's going to live for decades, maybe even past you. Whoa, the tree is the tree. It's a beautiful tree. We wouldn't hurt it. We're just going to prune it so it can grow better. When it was finished, Woe came back. Didn't know what he was going to see. Walked in the backyard and fell to his knees sobbing. And pruned it. They killed it. They hadn't killed it, of course, but Woe had never seen a tree pruned like that before. There was no more canopy. There were no more branches. Funnily enough, through his lifetime, he had noticed a lot more stinging bugs. Now there were none. He didn't realize his tree was dropping them on him, even while he had his drink. He was gone. And what's this? He's going to have to get sunglasses. There's too much light. There's no more shade. And the inspector says, don't worry, there will be very soon. It doesn't take long. They grow back quickly, believe me. Woe didn't like what he saw at all. He understood what they were saying, but his tree, was gone. The tree that he knew was gone. The shade, all the branches, it had been cut back to nothing. And then the inspector said, I hope you didn't mind, Woe, but in the process of pruning the tree, we had to move the barrels. And Woe said, you moved the barrels? And he says, yes, it's okay, Woe. You moved the barrels? Yes, Woe, it's all right. It's all right. Woe looked around and wondered whether the rapture was coming. They moved the barrels. When we moved the barrels, we noticed something, Woe. Did you know that you had a nest of snakes in there? What? Yes, they were in the barrels all the time. How many? Did you ever look under those things? How many years have they been there? Well, then he realized, for life, he never had looked under there. That's where the snakes were coming from. Look at the metaphor, dear ones. The things that you would never touch, the things that were absolute true to you, the things that your father put there, if you had moved them, it would be almost a travesty. It would be to his memory. You just don't move those things that are so important to you, that perhaps your pastor and your priest told you, or your mom or your dad, or that professor that you love so much, and those barrels don't move because that's a tribute to their memory. And under the barrel were the snakes. Because they were never moved. I think you get it. Well, you know the I'm sorry to tell you this, but that playhouse, you got to get rid of it. We could fix it, but it's going to cost too much. It'd be better if we just got rid of it. It's not, it's not an authorized structure anyway. It doesn't really have a foundation, and it's listing. It's going to fall on you. Woe was numbed at this time. He says, go ahead, take the playhouse. They took it. Came back the next day. It was gone. Met the inspector. The inspector said, it's a little harder than we thought to take that playhouse. And he says, why? And he says, well, because you had a rat's nest in there. You mean they weren't coming from the other yard? Oh, no. They were coming from your playhouse. Well, how often did you go in that playhouse? And Woe said, not since I was a child. It was just in there. It was just a memory. I want you to look at this, dear ones. There are those of you who still have the memory of the playhouse, and you will not go to that inner child because you've been told by someone that if you're going to be an adult, you act as an adult, and you don't laugh like a kid, and you're not a kid, and you squeal like a kid. You don't get on your hands and your knees like a kid anymore. And I'm telling you, dear ones, listen, listen, listen. If you will visit your inner child, it'll save your life. Your inner child is who you are. That's the beauty of a child and their innocence. And he never went in there. Woe was an old soul, and he was balanced. But as he ignored these things and just let them be, in came the rats, and in came the snakes, and all the other things. Not too long afterwards, Woe found himself in the backyard, in his lawn chair, sipping his drink with a straw with sunglasses on. Because the sun was blaring, and he noticed something right away. Color. The flowers were coming, and they had not been there all his life. He realized that all things were okay. The tree, he could still grab it and hang on to. It was still his support. But it was going to have new branches, different kinds of shade. The playhouse in his own mind and the tree house was still there. He could remember it. He could laugh and he could squeal. The barrels, he had them removed. Who wants old barrels in your backyard? That's the parable. How's your backyard, dear ones? How many of you felt the earthquake? Now let me give you another secret. The earthquake's different for all of you. It was yesterday. It was 2012. Perhaps it's tomorrow. Something that shakes the foundation of your belief, and it doesn't have to be negative. You could leave this place and understand all of this. Before you go to bed tonight, you could have an epiphany of saying, I recognize my backyard, and it's not pretty. I don't want an earthquake. I just want a new tree. And this would be the wise old soul who says, you don't have to take me to zero for me to get it. And then there will be others who will have issues in their life that will take them to a place where you have to face things you didn't want to face. And you'll cry out to God and that, what have you done? What's wrong? What have I done? Why am I here? Why is this happening to me? I'm speaking to somebody in the audience. I'm a good person. I'm a good old soul. I believe in these things. Why is this happening to me? And the answer is because you're stubborn and you know it. And you're going to go through this and you're going to come out the other side with light. And the tree will be pruned, but it won't kill it. And you'll know what I'm talking about, dear one. This is how you are. Every human, absolutely elegantly different in every single way. But all of you have a backyard. Ponder these things in the light of the changes on the planet and the changes that may have to occur in your consciousness and even what you believe when I ask, who are you? Back to the message of this morning. When you start to analyze who you might be on this planet and what you might be here for. And the answers are beautiful. There's majesty in the answers. There's magnificence in all of the realizations when you start answering one by one. This is the message of Cryon and has been for 30 years. We just tell it different every time. And so it is.